We greet you this morning in the precious name of our Lord Jesus, the one who understands our heartbeats. It's kind of like coming home. You ever traveled abroad and landed back in the U.S., you know how it felt like to be home. Seems like impossible, but we know our God is able, and He is loving and kind and wants to do the best things for us, and He has done the best for us, but He is... led us in a way that we had not expected. And we're privileged to be here with you this morning. Appreciate the song we sang. Breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me with life anew, that I may love that as Thou hast loved, and do what Thou wouldst do. Breathe on me, breath of God, until my heart is pure, until with Thee I will walk to do and to endure. Breathe on me, breath of God, till I am wholly Thine, until this earthly part of me glows with fire divine. Breathe on me, breath of God, so shall I never die, but live with Thee the perfect life of Thine eternally. We think of the workings of God and how He looks down upon the human family and wonder how He can put up with us at times. In spite of our failures, He still blesses us and leads us in a pure way. And we're glad for that song this morning. I haven't sung that for a long time, and I appreciate that. Turn with me to Psalms 90. Struggled with this sermon for a while, and I just feel that have Brother Moses speak to us anew this morning. This psalm is attributed to the man of God, Moses. And Psalms 90 is one of my many favorite chapters or psalms. I don't know at what stage of Moses' life these words were recorded, but we know that he is attributed to this. And I'm going to be reading down through verse 8, and then I'll ask the congregation to stand and we'll read the balance in unison. Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, wherever Thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, Return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in Thy sight are but as yesterday, when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep in the morning. They are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by Thine anger, and by Thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before Thee, our secret sins in the light of Thy countenance. Shall we all stand and read the balance in unison? For all our days are passed away in Thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is there strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of Thine anger? even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days when thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto thy children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. Shall we pray? Dear God, we have read these words. We have prayed it from our hearts. And we pray that you may bless this service in a special way. Bless us with wisdom and understanding and clarity of thought. And may you bless each person here this morning. Help us, Lord, to blend our lives together with you and with each other in a way that will honor you and be a blessing to mankind. Give us understanding and wisdom, Father, as we look into your word. And help us, Lord, as we fellowship together today, that truly, as the day comes to a close, we have said we have walked with God today. Bless us to this end and make us a blessing. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Is that long enough for you? I think it is. I'm sure it is. In all generations, not just for one generation, but many generations. You know, we appreciate first generation Christians, but we also appreciate many generations that have been faithful in passing on the faith. We know that it doesn't happen on its own. We know that it is a time of effort goes into passing on the faith. And I don't know all of you very well, but you know, we all have a frame of reference that we draw from. Grandpa and grandma and mom and dad and whatever you come from. And I'm glad for that which we have, and you have nothing to brag about. But nevertheless, we are thankful for generations that have come and gone, and we reflect back and say, no, that was, I'm glad for mom and dad and for grandpa and grandma what they taught me. And because the Lord is our dwelling place, and we want to reflect and walking with him, I believe he wants us to stop our fast pace in life and just take a look at where we're headed for and where we have come from, and not let the past destroy our focus into the future. You know, sometimes we have a temptation to focus in the past and say, well, because of this and this, that's why I'm doing what I'm doing. Well, maybe that's true to a good degree or a negative degree, but nevertheless, we have a goodly heritage, and we're glad for that. And this morning it is probably a milestone. I don't know. I hope there's some historians here that are writing things down of the history of the area, the church. Not because we've done so well, but because it's facts. I like to just simply reflect back on those times and be able to recognize that God is still on the throne and that he leads us in Pastor's Green. We're grateful for the privilege we have to be back in this building and blend together lives that had been estranged. And trusting that as we put forth our best efforts to move ahead with God, that we will not frustrate the hand of God. I believe he wants us to stop our fast pace in life and just think of and consider him and worship him again. I don't know at what juncture that Moses wrote these words when he said this. Before the mountains were brought forth, wherever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Was it when he was coming up to the Red Sea and there was no way but looked like disaster? Was it right after they had been through the Red Sea and he looked back and he saw the floating bodies of the Egyptians that he recognized that? I don't know. All the armies of Israel, of Egypt, were there, and the horsemen and the horses and chariots and all, they were gone. No longer were they a threat to them because they had moved ahead with God at a juncture that they had to put, that didn't seem there was a possibility. For some of you, it looks like maybe the end of time, the end of the road, but it's not at the end of the road with God. I believe this morning that as we face life, we reflect back on our lives, our past life, and there have been times when we came to the spot where we said, Lord, there is just no way. The Red Sea is there, and it's disaster. You must do something. And he did. Not because we were in charge, but because God is in charge, and God is in control. And we're glad that we can do that. Or maybe it was at the Sinai experience, after they were out in the wilderness, and God had called him up to the mountain and gave him the law, and he had faithfully given that back to the Israelites, and they started the in a new way, possibly. I'm not sure what juncture all this was, but you know, when the sacrifices, the study we have in the Sunday school lesson now is interesting. And but you know, I'm glad that we live in today, not back then. I'm glad I'm not called to be a high priest. We'll have to go out there and lay that hand on that ox and then slice its throat and catch the blood and do the sacrificing for the people. I'm glad I don't have to do that. Or that we are no longer called to worship God like you did then, but that we can come to him boldly. And but Moses said, God, before that time you were. Before there was a sea over here, God was. Before there was the mountains, the Alps, and wherever mountains you love to visit, before then, God was. And he still is. From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and say, return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday. Actually, we're just in 1818. Is that what it is? We're in, no, 1918 or whatever you want to call. That's God. He's just like yesterday. And it's just hard for us to grasp that, the greatness of God and the goodness of God. It's as a watch in the night, like a 3-hour period. 1,000 years went by, another 1,000 years, another 1,000 years. What's the difference that make with God? Not really much, does it? Or maybe it was out there in the wilderness, when there was no water and all of a sudden the water gushed out and the people were satisfied. He said, before then you were. See, God is not controlled by our minute little details that we have, or the things that are so big to us that we can't hardly get around it or over it. God is just simply, he's not bothered by that at all. Or maybe it wasn't when the manna first appeared. I like the story of the manna. We go back to Numbers 11. And, you know, it baffled Moses' mind when these people wanted something to eat and they had these cattle. And he said, God, what do you expect us to kill all the animals for food? I don't know what they were going to offer if they did that. That was not God's program. He said, if we did that, would that be enough? We ought to turn to Numbers 11. I think it's Numbers 11. It doesn't hurt to us to imagine just a little bit. I have a great imagination. Sometimes it doesn't make sense, but sometimes it does. But Numbers 11, verse 22. Shall the flocks and the herds be slain for them to suffice them? Or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together to them to suffice them? Moses said, God, they said, we're going to feed these people. We're going to have to drain all the fish out of all the seas. Is this what you want us to do? That wasn't God's program at all. And the Lord said unto Moses, is the Lord's hand waxed short? Brother, this morning, in your Christian experience, have you found the Lord's hand short? Have you found it so that it's just hardly sufficient? I know that there's different scenes in life come to pass, and we're cast into different experiences, and we wondered, how in the world are we ever going to get through this experience? God said, just sit still. Behave yourself. Don't run ahead. Just take it easy. I'll work. And verse 25 in Numbers 11, the Lord came down in a cloud and spake unto him, and took of the spirit that was upon him, and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and ceased not. You see, God doesn't have just one person. He has many people to do his work. Sometimes we get so nearsighted, we think we're the biggest thing in God's program, and we're really not much at all. And we get in the way. I'm not implying that Moses thought he was the big wheel, but he had a little problem he had to get taken care of. Well, anyhow, when the quails were given, in Numbers 11, verse 31, Moses was, I believe, was surprised. And there went forth a wind from the Lord and brought quails from the sea and let them fall by the camp, as it were, a day's journey on this side and a day's journey on that other side, round about the camp, and as it were, 2 cubits high above the face of the earth, 3 feet deep. How far can you walk in a day? I don't know. Somebody says like 24 miles. 24 miles that way, it takes us up back to where? Anybody around here know what 24 miles back towards Buffalo? 24 miles this way, getting close to Syracuse. 3 feet deep. Quails. That was a fluttering time, don't you think? I think so. Them 3 feet deep quails were trying to, I don't know, they were out there. But God had a plan. 24 miles, whichever way you could go, 3 feet deep. People looked at it, wow, we got a lot of butchering to do here, a lot of killing in order to satisfy the people. And the people stood up, verse 32, all that night, day and all that night, and all the next day, and they gathered the quails. He that gathered least gathered 10 homers, a gravity box full. 80 bushels, if I did the right calculating. 80 bushel wagon full of quail. Yeah. Now that's a lot of quail. And that's a lot of fluttering around, a lot of butchering. And they just kept right on doing it a lot, because there's a lot of work to do, a lot of mouths to fill. Because they probably thought this was the end of it. They didn't understand God yet. How often have we got to the end of ourselves? We had a problem, and we said, we just got to get at it and do it, because this is the end. When God said, no, this isn't the end. This is just the beginning. Just trust me. And, of course, the people responded like they do. We do sometimes. In verse 34, and while the flesh was yet between their teeth, ere it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against the people, and the Lord smote the people with a very great plague. He called the name of that place, I'm not very good in pronouncing that long word, but it's worse than Neunschwander for sure. Yeah, people stumble on my name, but this one here is a little bit worse, I think. Okay, whatever that's, they call that. Because they buried the people that lusted. In other words, there was a lot of people died because they did not respond properly to God's plan that day. Well, I don't know if Psalms 890 was written over this period of time. Could have been, but I'm not sure. We don't have to know. But somewhere, maybe it was around the time of Pisgah when Moses was taken up and then released from his work, that he finally saw the whole picture of God. You know, sometimes God asks us, would you just please step back and let me show you what really I have in mind? He wants us to do that here this morning, I believe. Just step back. Just let God show us what he has in mind. You know, I say it's one of the worst things of our history is so goofed up. Peace-loving people, we have more fusses and carrying on than anybody else in the world about. Mennonites. Shame on us. But we're human, aren't we? We need the Lord so bad. I've been involved in it. It's bad. It's just sickening to think what all the trouble we've caused God. But we're glad that he is loving and kind and forgiving. Well, I don't know when all this was, these words were printed, but he wants us to really take notice in Psalms 90. Let's turn back to that again and just highlight a few more things in that psalm. Psalms 90 and Psalms 121 are one of the greatest psalms, I believe, besides Psalms 23, and then you have some others yet, probably. But get to my place in the Bible here I want. In all generations. How many are first-generation Christians here this morning? I mean, you don't have any ancestors that were Christian before you. Anybody here that... We just announced the name off of the one that was a member with us and is no longer. Probably first generation. Maybe second generation. Maybe it was your mom and dad that was the first ones that became Christians. Several here, thank you. So you're third generations. So wherever we fit into God's program, dear ones, this morning I want us to know that it's special and that we're special in God's sight. All generations. I don't know, I've did a little calculating, probably by, depending when it was written, it could have been like 300 generations from the beginning of time until this was written. That's a lot of family gatherings, don't you think? I think so. But 300 generations. Well, I'm glad for my grandpa. He migrated from Switzerland in 1896 and gave me a chance to be an American. He was not a perfect man. And they tell me that when the family was leaving the Alps in the snow, going towards the sea to cross the Atlantic, one of the boys hopped off the sled and said, "You go, I'm staying. I'm not going alone." We visited Switzerland in 1990, and we visited one of the third generation that he was. We had to go fetch him out of the saloon. He was not a Christian man. He stayed. You see, we don't know what what generations, what an influence we have on the next generation. I'm glad for a goodly heritage. But when I saw the beauty of what Grandpa left, I had a cry. I said, thank you, Grandpa. Give me a chance. They walked from this mountain to this mountain and worshiped in caves because they were scared because of the persecutions they had, and did the baptizing there. In fact, when they came to America, in the old Swiss church there in Sonnenberg, they baptized behind closed doors for quite a while. There was no need for that. They were in a land of freedom. But they were still referred back to those experiences. And so finally they baptized up front like we do. But you know, when you have that frame of reference, that kind of a generational, I don't know. I don't know what Moses all had in mind. But there's a lot of things I'm sure he would have had in mind when he thought of. Maybe he probably don't remember the ride on the Nile when Pharaoh's daughter looked in there and opened up and he cried. Touched her heart. She could have flipped that boat upside down and Moses would have been gone and drowned it like her dad said he should do. But she had respect to this little boy. She took him and gave him back to mom. She nursed him and brought him up as a servant of God. God's program. You're here this morning because somebody was faithful. What are you doing with your generation, the next generation? Are you passing on the faith? Are you zealous for the kingdom of God, for the work of God? Are you zealous to be a true representative of the kingdom? Or are we just going to coast along? I thank God for faithful people who made a difference in my life. I remember so much of my grandma's funeral. She was on mom's side. They sang the song of, it's lost my mind now. It'll come to me after a bit. It's one thing that gets better. The forgetter gets better as you get older. But the I know as well, you do it too. The children that died and the husband told his wife to come across. He was over in Europe and Stafford. It is well with my soul. Thank you. Yeah, first I remember that. Yeah, Grandma was, I remember so many times I slept with her as a young boy because Grandpa had died. He had been the bishop of the church there and he was, and they thought somebody ought to sleep with Grandma in case she needed help. Well, in 1945, she had a heart attack during the night and she did not wake me up. She should have. And got some help. It probably wouldn't have made any difference as far as life is concerned for her, but next morning she woke me up and said, Harry, did you hear me complaining during the night? I said, no, I didn't hear nothing. I said, I was complaining. I had a lot of pain in my chest and I need some help. And so I went and told mom, and of course they got, that evening she passed on. It is well with my soul. How? I have scenes in my mind. I'm going there, ready for bed. Grandma sitting in the rocking chair with an old German Bible. It wasn't Better Homes and Gardens. It wasn't, those are good magazines too, but it was the Bible. That's how we pass on the generation, the next generation faith. And so, I believe this morning, there are grandchildren watching you, grandma and grandpas, that makes a difference. What you read, what you do in this life. They'll reflect back and remember that. and moms and dads too. For we pass, our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told, just a story. The story goes so, is so condensed down into a very short time, and that's life. Moses got to be, what, 120? I got a long ways to go yet. I got 40 years yet at that rate. Not quite, but I really hope not. Yes, the days of our years are 80 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years old, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. All I know for sure is that Ecclesiastes 12 is true. There are fears in the way. When you get a little bit older, you get scared of this, you worry about this, you're concerned about this. You didn't have this problem before. God does not measure and measured by time. He described life in such a different ways there. And he said, well, this is time. This is, you look in a graveyard and you go to the tombstone, there is a date here and the dash and then a date. And that little dash is time. It may be 80 years, it may be a short years. But whatever it is, that's time. And that's how we measure that. From 1936 to whatever. And then we pass on. So teach us to number our days, verse 12. That we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Why? Because there is no time to repent after death. Remember in the old Whistler songbook we used to sing, there's no time to repent after death. It's all over with. Return, O Lord, how long? Let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days when thou hast afflicted us, and the years when thou hast seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. Dear ones, this morning, we do affect other people. I don't care, it makes very little difference as to what you think. He said, I can live as I want to, I can do as I want to, and I don't make me any difference, doesn't make anybody else any difference. It does make a difference. Makes a lot of difference. Young people, this morning, you are in a very good time of life. A lot of things are going for you. You have a lot of prayers that are uttered for you. People that care about you. And we want God's blessings on you. I would say in verse 12, we'd just say, help us, Lord, to number our days. Apply our hearts unto wisdom. There are so many things I wish I could do over, but the only thing, if I would do it over, I'd probably make some mistakes, maybe worse than that. I'm not 100% sure, but I'm kind of afraid because that's in my genes. But the fact is that we don't live a life over. Life is like a story told. A 3-hour span is a span, and then we go on. And I preached a number of times on the message, time, the unrelenting force in life. You know, it's 11:30 and it's about time to quit. When I was ordained, the preacher told me there's two times to quit, when you're done and when the clock says so, whichever is first. Sometimes, I don't know if I always listened on that, but that's a good admonition anyhow. And you know, when the clock says it's time to quit, it's lunchtime and it's good time to quit. But the fact of it is that there are so many things that come to our mind that we need to talk about. We don't always have time for it. But I like the closing verse of this psalm. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us and established out of the work of our hands. Regardless of your position in life, you don't have to be a bishop. You don't have to be ordained. You don't have to have a position in church. Just be faithful as a father and mother, as an individual. The more responsibility you have, the more is laid upon us, that's true, but the fact is that we want the beauty of the Lord our God to be upon us and establish the work of our hands upon us. I'm glad that we had the privilege of ministering from this here's time past, and have the privilege again this morning. It may be my last time, I don't know. One of these times, it'll be the last time. Last evening, I got the call of an ordained man's wife. She was out sweeping snow, and she passed on into eternity. Just about a year older than I am. Not really that old, but the fact of it is, she's gone. And we want our work established. I'm sorry for any problems I caused you. The times I could have done better. I'm sure there would have been many of those times. I'm just thankful for the privilege I had to serve when I did serve. And I'm glad that Joe is here to take over. And I don't have to do all the interviews and all that, even though I enjoyed the work. There's so many positive things in life that I wonder sometimes just how we could, how God can put up with us. You know, sometimes people think, yeah, I've heard people say already, in a joking manner, husband and wife, we're one, but I'm the one. Yeah, maybe you are, you think you are, but yeah. I'm glad that I'm not the main one in our relationship. My wife is a lot better than I am, and I'm glad for her. One of these days, the phone will ring, and I'll be gone. That's all right. Ready to go. I just want God's blessing to rest upon each one. Don't take life mediocre way, but it's serious. Life is real and life is earnest, and the grave is not its goal. Dust thou art, to dust returnest. It was not spoken of your soul. That's going on. And when that happens, it's too late. And we are glad for the opportunity we have to help people while we have the day. May God bless you as you continue on with in your Christian life. Please, young people, take notice. It's so short. It's so short. 81 years doesn't take long. It's just a dream in a way. And yet it's more than a dream. When that young man jumped off the sled in Switzerland and said, you go on, I'm staying. All those the years in between that, he didn't realize what he was doing. And sometimes we take too careless of approach to life. But I'm glad for the mercy of God, the mercy he has on me and on our family. And we're glad for the privilege to, our lives, our paths are crossing for a short time, and then we go. Yes, I have my tombstone up already. There's some things written on there I wanted written on, and so I was in control of that, I guess. But that makes very little difference. What makes a difference is what happens in that dash between the dates. And I'm glad for the mercy of God, for forgiveness, and for your goodness that you have shown to us. This year was a different year. I don't think I sent in away one Christmas card. I got a lot of cards. We got a lot of cards and pictures from you folks. And we appreciate that. We have them hanging up. We relish that. But getting older doesn't make you any more efficient. That's all I know. It just seems you spin the wheels and get less done. But God help us as we go on from here. January 14, 2018. Special day. Maybe the last day for someone. Shall we pray?